Thursday, November 10th, was until sundown, quite typical of these 10 November days at the ranch. From Friday the 4th, when we arrived to rest from our eastern trip, until Monday, November the 14th, when we returned to Washington. They were marked by a strange inability to sleep, and much of the day revolves around when and whether and how one did sleep, most aggravating. It is, somehow, an inevitable result with almost all of us of the trip around the world, the gaining a day and losing a day, and getting our internal clock quite upset. The word rest at the ranch is a complete misnomer to me, and I do not understand how it is restful to Lyndon. The airport stays busy with planes coming and going, disgorging cabinet members and officials with important, difficult news, decisions, budget estimates. It is like living in a revolving door. I only know that somehow it manages to be restful to Lyndon. This morning's plane load brought Secretary McNamara and General Earl Wheeler and Walt Rostow and George Christian and Hal Patius and Tom Johnson. There was a morning of work and then lunch, and then at 1:45 into the front yard for a press conference with McNamara and Lyndon making a joint statement. The house has become a joint residence and office. Visitors pour in and news pours out, and these old walls are bursting at the seams. I spent a part of the afternoon retracing my steps with Nancy to the guest trailer and the cedar house, reviewing our hanging of pictures, making note of bedspreads to be bought, window shades or drapes to be decided on, and to the hanger to make choices between floor coverings and wall coverings. They're doing a quick, inexpensive job of converting it to part-time hanger, part-time meeting hall, where press conferences and gatherings could be held when the weather's cold or when it rains, with a good-looking simulated stone vinyl floor, and oatmeal-colored wall hangings, a good foil for any decorations. And then, a little before 5, cabinet, military, and traveling staff had left, and the ranch assumed its other face. We began our daily ritual, into the car, Lyndon, Lucy, and I, and over to the Lewis, where we picked up A.W., and drove around the Lewis and the Hartman, circling those Caliche hills to see the sunset from the top. It is an early fall. We had a frost by the 1st of November, and the sumacs are brilliant red, and the Spanish oaks dark russet. But the sunflowers and the asters have gone. Morning is crisp and chill, but the days have been hot, golden blue, in the 80s in the middle of the day. Indian summer, and absolutely divine weather. To live with, that is, but the part of us that is rancher looks at the blue sky with a groan and yearns for rain. It was after 6:30 when we decided to go to the Cecil Ruby's for dinner. Cecil and Mrs. Ruby have a deer camp close to their main ranch, out from Buta, and they were having some 40 or 50 guests, including the directors of the American National Bank. On the business phone, we asked Mary Ellen and Matilda and Mr. Gallant, her father, if they could be ready in about 10 minutes. They could. We got in touch with Pat, who was driving out from Austin. We rendezvoused at the Morsons Ranch, picked them up, and helicoptered over to Buta, landing in a field near Cecil Ruby's ranch house, and then driving to his deer camp. It was quite dark, and we were alone on the road. All the other guests had come in before us, and the road was alive with nightlife. Two raccoons crossed in front of us, and a skunk, his white plume waving, ambled off into the brush. There were lots of deer in the shadow close by, and once a fox darted swiftly through the headlights and on into the woods. It was delightful. The hunting camp was a big, roomy, rambling place that had grown, Cecil very proudly showed me, from a one-room cabin he and his wife had had there in their young days. It was practically a story of their own success, from laborer to wealthy contractor. Their pleasure in having us there was so genuine and touching, it added to my enjoyment of the evening, and I soon found myself surrounded by familiar couples from our past, the Ben Brighams, the Jesse James, the Jamie Odoms, the Tom Miller Juniors, the Ed Rodrow Juniors, Charlie Green without Floyd. I was aware of how many times it was the children of people I had known when Lyndon was a congressman from Austin. I sharply this told the tale of passing years, which I somehow did not feel very much. Suddenly I found myself in a group of four, all of us who'd played bridge together in the 30s, And I had that astonishing feeling, my, you all have grown old. Cozily exempting myself from the same. It was a pleasant change of pace in life at the ranch to go out to dinner, and if it seems bizarre to take along four extra people, Pat and Lucy, and Matilda and her father, our host's greeting was so cordial, and the whole party so casual, that it all seemed to fit into the Western way of doing things. Pat was busy meeting everybody. Actually, he knew more names than we did from his brief month's work at the station. It was a warm and pleasant evening, ending early, and a little past 10 o'clock, we were back at the ranch. I talked to Linda in Washington, and I heard that Dr. and Mrs. Young had a baby girl named after me, Claudia Diane. Lyndon with his dozens of namesakes, and now I with two.